It is 6:14 now, pardon me, on this chilly Friday morning, and it's really going to be cold come Sunday and Monday, and we'll have more for that about that for you in the news coming up. But Jeff Palermo joins us now, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director, to talk about those LSU Tigers. How you doing, Jeff?
Hey, I'm doing well, Tommy. How about yourself?
I'm okay, sir. The schedule is out for next year. Tell me about it.
Well, we get the big one out of the way early. Lane Kiffin's return to Oxford is the SEC opener for LSU. It'll be September 19th. So, a lot of anticipation going into next season with Lane Kiffin as the head coach, probably the most anticipated game. LSU-Alabama always rank high up there whenever LSU plays Alabama. But for this season, for obviously circumstances that we all understand and know about, LSU-Ole Miss will be a huge game, and it'll be a tough test for LSU right off the bat to take on Ole Miss in September. But the other couple things that really pop out at you, it's a great home schedule considering the teams that are going to be coming into the Tiger Stadium. I mean, you're going to have Clemson, you're going to have Texas A&M, you're going to have Alabama, and you're going to have Texas. I mean, that's really good. You know, marquee programs. You got a couple of in-state schools that will be paying a visit to Tiger Stadium. We knew about McNeese, but what was announced yesterday, and it came down right a few hours before the full 12 games were unveiled, Louisiana Tech will be in Tiger Stadium next year. It's a tricky end to the season because the last home game will be November 14th when LSU plays Texas. And then they do not, that's it. And then they'll be on the road and they got to go to Tennessee. And then Arkansas returns as your last game of the regular season. And that hasn't happened here for a while. It's probably been about 10 years since LSU's wrapped up the regular season against Arkansas. So, nine-game SEC schedule, one bye next week because the calendar adjusts according to the number of Saturdays from Labor Day to Thanksgiving. But now you can really make all your plans, and if somebody sends you a wedding invitation for September 19th, you got to make a decision.
Save the date? Oh, I'm saving it, all right. I'm saving it to watch LSU play Ole Miss.
Yeah. You're right about that.
Alabama on the schedule, too, even though it wasn't one of the guaranteed opponents.
Well, we knew that Alabama was on the schedule for next year, but then Alabama is off
the schedule.
That.
I got
after that. I guess the question was, will they keep LSU and Alabama at its traditional spot that first Saturday in November? And it is November 7th. So, and the other thing about it is that LSU traditionally gets a bye before the game against Alabama. Mm-hmm. And that's the case again this time around. They'll play Auburn. They'll go to Auburn. LSU will go to Auburn. I think it's October 24th. You get the first weekend, the Halloween weekend. That's a bye weekend still for LSU. And then they'll play Alabama. It's in 2027 where LSU will not play Alabama, and they won't play them again in 28 either.
All right, let's talk about Charlie Weiss. What's going on with him?
Well, we know he's going to be the offensive coordinator, but right now he's getting ready to take on Tulane. He's back in Oxford. He's part of the game plan, the preparation. He'll call plays for Ole Miss. The way LSU wrote it, the contract, basically, if first of all, he's going to be one of the highest paid offensive coordinators in the country. He's got a nice 3-year contract, and the language in the contract makes it so that he'll continuously always be while he's at LSU, the highest paid offensive coordinator in the country. And then the other thing is about it is there's a huge buyout that Charlie Weiss would have to owe to LSU if he's at Ole Miss and all of a sudden he has this change of heart and says, you know what, I really do like it here and I don't want to go back to LSU. Then he's going to owe LSU. I mean, it's a crazy amount. He's going to owe LSU a lot of money. So LSU protected itself when it comes to allowing these five assistant coaches that Kiffin is bringing to LSU And if they, you know, if all of a sudden they made had a change of heart, they would end up owing LSU a lot of money. So I think these guys are all locked in. Pretty much the staff, as we know it, is kind of locked in at the moment.
Frank Wilson?
Well, we don't know about Frank Wilson yet, but LSU still has not hired a running backs coach. There was a lot of speculation that Kevin Smith, the Ole Miss coach, was going to follow Lane Kiffin down to Baton Rouge, but it looks like Kevin Smith is staying at Ole Miss because the new staff that they're forming at Ole Miss at the moment it includes Kevin Smith. But it's just still very curious on why, if we knew Frank Wilson was going to be part of the staff, why wasn't that made more obvious? Mm-hmm. It became pretty clear when Lane Kiffin took the job at LSU that Blaine Baker was going to be the defensive coordinator, and Lane Kiffin wanted to keep all the guys on the defensive side of the football. But, you know, Frank Wilson gave no indication, he didn't give any indication, I guess, either way. When he was asked about it earlier this week, whether he would be part of Lane Kiffin's staff, he said that would be a discussion that would take place after the bowl game. So we'll see. We'll see. But at the moment, LSU doesn't have a running backs coach, so it's still a possibility.
But in the meantime, he continues to recruit for LSU.
Well, I don't know how much of the recruiting he's doing at this moment, because you're kind of in a you're a bit in a dead period. Mm-hmm. Frank did his best to keep the recruiting class together. Then when Lane Kiffin came in, changes were made. Certain guys were processed out of the recruiting class, and guys were brought in, guys that Lane had committed to Ole Miss. Three or four of them decommitted from Ole Miss, came to ended up signing at LSU. The big thing that Frank Wilson's doing right now is getting the team ready for the bowl game against Houston in the Texas Bowl on December 27th.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up there. We come back 6:20, talking to Jeff Palermo. Traffic now, WWL. I should have talked as well. 6:25, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Talking to Jeff Palermo, WWL.com columnist, Louisiana Network News Director. Let's talk about transfer portal. Who's coming? Who's going? Who's staying? Who's leaving?
Well, we know a couple of Tigers have announced their intentions to go into the transfer portal. Ahmad Bro, a defensive lineman for the Tigers, a defensive tackle, who I think was a promising young player, someone you would like to see him stay within the program, a Louisiana kid from Ruston, but really don't know the exact reasons on why he's decided to transfer out. You can look at it and say, boy, you look at that recruiting class that LSU just brought in, and you got the likes of Richard Anderson and Lamar Brown. These are some of the top defensive linemen in the country, and I don't know. Maybe Bro was looking at that. Maybe he's going to see his playing time be shrunken down, but still, you want kind of a veteran defensive lineman. You're not going to just play off freshmen on the D-line next year. You need some guys that are experienced, but there may be some other reasons for it as well. But it looks like he's going to play in the bowl game. So and Juwan Johnson, who you're talking about, one of the most prolific quarterbacks in Louisiana high school football history, mm-hmm. was recruited as a cornerback when he got to LSU. LSU was trying to figure out where exactly to play him. He had to use him as a running back last year because of injuries that had hit the team. And then last spring, put him back at quarterback because they didn't have a lot of depth at the QB spot after Colin Hurley's accident. And then, again, running back depth became an issue this season. So Juwan Johnson found himself back at running back and ended up getting a handful of carries this season. But after two seasons, he's decided to enter the transfer portal. And then Ashton Stamps is the other major one, a kid from Rummel, mm-hmm. who was a part-time starter in 2023, a full-time starter in 2024. But he got passed up on the depth chart. You know, he had Mansoor Delaney that came in, DJ Pickett, the true freshman. So he lost playing time, and he made the decision pretty early on in this year that he wanted to just redshirt, preserve a year of eligibility. P.J. Woodland also passed him up on the depth chart. So he made the decision early on that, look, I see what's going on here. I'm going to go play somewhere else, because P.J. Woodland and D.J. Pickett were establishing themselves. And so he did not have a this year did not count towards his eligibility, and he's entering the transfer portal. I guess two guys that we don't have to worry about entering the transfer portal for LSU, and there was some concern because they're really talented. I was just talking about Pickett, who's going to make every All-American freshman team that is out there, and then Tre'Davious Green. But those two guys, as part of this new agreement that a renewed agreement that LSU has with Nike, is Nike will continue to be the major apparel company for LSU, making all their uniforms and all that kind of stuff. There's also a major NIL component to this new Nike deal. And Tre'Davious Green and DJ Pickett are the two football players from LSU that will now be basically spokespeople for Nike and part of the NIL campaign.
When you say the two, Jeff, is it limited to two, or they?
Those were the two that they announced. They, when you look at the press release, they're basically a couple players from every major sport. Derek Carriel for baseball. Volleyball's got them. Baseball, softball, all the sports, basketball. Mm-hmm. But yeah, maybe shouldn't necessarily say the two, but those are the two that are highlighted. I think it was 10 total athletes that Nike is really going to go in on, as far as using these athletes to help promote Nike products. Already, I see that some of the athletes are already participating in photo shoots and all that kind of stuff, based on what you're seeing on social media when it comes to representing Nike. So, and I guess there was that concern that these two players in particular, Tre'Davious Green, DJ Pickett, you did not want to see those guys bolt for the transfer portal because
they weren't getting paid enough.
The promise that they have, and the fact that they have connected here with Nike and will have this huge NIL deal, that gives you a really good sign that these guys are not going in the transfer portal and they'll be part of that 2026 season for LSU.
You'd hate for them to leave because they're not getting paid enough, right?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, that's not the bottom line on all of this, is it?
Yeah, a lot of it is. A lot of it is. I mean, in this day and age, Tommy, there isn't, I'm just going to stay here because I really like the place and I kind of like my coaches. A lot of it now is driven by, how much you could potentially make. Yeah. And based on this, this is a major NIL partnership that LSU now has with Nike, which is great. And these are the two players on the LSU football team that will anyways be part of this new collaboration that LSU has with Nike on the NIL side.
Got you, Jeff. Thank you. Appreciate it as always. We'll talk to Ian Ozan about the high school football playoffs when we come back. Right now, time for WWL First News. 6:46, 14 till 7. Seems like just yesterday it was steamy August and the football season was starting. Here we are, December 12th, less than 2 weeks till Christmas. And Ian Ozan joins us right now, co-host of the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup, talking about those high school championships that are happening. How you doing, Ian?
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm all right, sir. Tell me what's going on with the playoffs. First of all, the results from last night.
So we had three games yesterday, and yes, coming into the weekend, New Orleans is guaranteed at least two state champions because of the all-New Orleans Metro matchups. The third one was an unknown because it was New Orleans versus the River Parishes. The New Orleans Metro won it. Riverside beat Ascension Catholic 31-21 yesterday. It was all Riverside. It was tied 14-7 going into the half, but Riverside woke up coming out of the second half in the third quarter, rattled off 14 quick points, and that was the end of that. Riverside outgained Ascension 370-216, and in the passing game just dominated 235 passing yards altogether by Riverside. It was a bit of a team effort. Quarterback Brock Bourgeois had 142 yards, two touchdowns. Three other players also threw for passes for about 100 yards total combined and a touchdown for them. So Riverside is a state champion. They are the Division IV select state champion. In the opening game, Hainesville versus Mangum, the Division IV non-select title game, defense was optional. 39-37 the final score. Hainesville won. Get this, Tommy. Mangum set two new records in that game. Most first downs in a Division IV championship game with 31. Most rushing yards in a D4 title game, 484. They had 567 total yards.
How'd they lose?
Two defensive scores in the first half. Hainesville, Ethan Henderson with a 25-yard fumble recovery for a touchdown for the first score, and then Isaiah Washington, who, by the way, is also Hainesville's quarterback, returned an interception, 77 yards for a touchdown. Those two scores were the difference, 14 of Hainesville's 19 points in the first quarter.
Did LSU sign that young man yet or not?
No, surprisingly, none of them were recruited, at least as far as we could tell. And we were talking about that in the press box. Both Washington and Henderson have great speed. They know how to read defenses, know how to follow their blockers, and find open holes. And the same can be said for Mangum's running back, Willie Randolph. He also ran for 203 yards and a touchdown yesterday. Lots of speed on the field, but it didn't seem as if anybody was touching them or recruiting him, at least based on what we could find.
How big are they?
Not terribly big, 5'9", 5'10", maybe 180 to 200 pounds soaking wet. And I think that's their big issue, is that size-wise, these were smaller guys, but they certainly could run. And even if they're not playing at the FBS level, certainly should be getting some looks by FCS or Division II schools.
Wow. And what was the other game?
And the last game was a nightcap last night. Speaking of people getting recruited, Dunham beat Calvary Baptist 34-17. Elijah Haven, this kid's a sophomore. He's been the he's a junior now. He's been the starting quarterback for Dunham for the last 2 years. 21 for 29 passing, 271 yards, touchdowns.
Wait, 29 for what?
21 for 29.
21 for 29, okay.
271 yards, three touchdowns. Also had an interception in there, but that interception didn't result in anything. But wait, there's more. He ran for 136 yards and two touchdowns. This kid resulted in 407 of Dunham's 486 yards by himself.
Wow.
And all five touchdowns.
He is getting some looks.
Alabama, Florida, Georgia, LSU, Houston, even Cornell in the Ivy League's looking for him, but he's not interested in going there. Right now it's going to be, most likely going to be, someone in the SEC that picks him up.
Did you put a word in for Princeton or not?
No, at this point I don't think he's going to go anywhere unless it's in the SEC, and Alabama right now looks like they're the favorite.
Because, you know, you could put a word in for Crimson.
I certainly could, but I think he's looking for another set of Tigers.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up with today's games, tomorrow's games, when we come back with Ian Ozan, 650, 10 till 7, traffic now, WWL. On Shaw Eagles, on Shaw Eagles, crash right through that line. I think that's what it is, 656. Wisconsin. What? Nah, we had it first. WWL, Tommy Tucker talking to Ian Ozan, co-host of the Manning Family Children's Prep Football Roundup. Ian Ozan, my Shaw Eagles playing tonight.
They did. They are playing tonight, taking on St. Charles, a team that beat them 24-0 at the end of the regular season. You were singing the line, crash right through that line.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that Shaw's opponents haven't been able to do over the last couple of weeks. They went up to play Loyola Prep, the number 2 seed in the state. They beat them 38-7. Now, granted, Loyola Prep didn't have their quarterback. He was out with mononucleosis. But last week, they played 6 seed Vanderbilt Catholic, a team that beat a solid Lake Charles College Prep team to reach the semifinals. Shaw did not allow Vanderbilt Catholic to get past the 50-yard line during the second half. They won that game 27-0. This defense has come along awfully well over the course of the season. There were questions as to whether the veteran defense could play as well as they did last year during their state championship run then. And over the course of the last 4 to 5 weeks, they have played just as well, if not better, than last year. The question is, can Shaw's offense find the end zone? They did it last week. They did it against Loyola Prep. Against St. Charles earlier this year, the offense had no answer whatsoever, and the defense had no answer for St. Charles' offense and their explosive quarterback. So it's going to be interesting to see how Shaw adjusts to St. Charles in this second matchup, and arguably the more important matchup. The first one's for a district title, this one for a state championship.
All right, the big game. What kind of crowd are we talking about with St. Aug Carr? Somebody asked me last night that's only been in the area for like maybe a year and doesn't have any kids in high school or anything, just said, should I go to that game? And I said, if you want to see high school football, yes, you should go to the game.
Yeah, our general manager, Dan Barron, asked me last night if he should go to the game, and I told him this may be the best game played in the Super Bowl all weekend. Etna Carr, St. Aug, based on my conversations with people in the press box yesterday, other working media, the over-under is set right now at about 41,000 and a half. And a lot of them are taking the over, thinking there may be closer to 50,000 people in the Superdome because of all the St. Aug alum who are flying in. And this is going to be a heavyweight battle. Etna Carr, we know how good they are, but they struggled against Catholic of Baton Rouge last week, winning only 17-10. And it came down to the final minute before Carr was able to pull away. Same thing with St. Aug last week. They beat John Curtis on the final play of the game. Vachon Coulon, the quarterback, cool in the pocket under pressure, found a receiver in the end zone for a 4-yard touchdown. Earlier this season in week 6, St. Aug trailed by only 7 going into the second half. Carr pulled away in the second and they won big. I expect this one to come down, if not to the final 5 minutes, certainly to the final play. This is going to be everything you expect it to be. If you don't have anything to do tomorrow, be in the Superdome for 3:30.
And tell me about listening to it on WWL.
Yeah, we have tonight's game between Archbishop Shaw and St. Charles, 7 o'clock, live on WWL. And then tomorrow, the Division I non-select championship game between Ruston and Ouachita Parish. And the big one, Etna Carr St. Aug, play-by-play coverage, all right here on WWL.
We'll be listening. Joe Geruso, when we come back.